You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia tau te rangi marie, o rangi nui e tui honei, o papu tuanuku e takatonei, o te tai ao e awhinei I a tātou, tihei Māori ora. This is The Green Desk on 95BFM.
This week for The Green Desk, Alice speaks with Monica Peters about citizen science. Monica is a self-described dot joiner, bringing together the worlds of science, society, communication and art with a passion for community environmental restoration. Ella asked her to explain citizen science to the citizens.
Citizen science, that's actually not that easy to explain because it's become a really, really widely used term. But generally, what it means is people who don't necessarily have a science background getting involved in scientific studies. That's the broadest kind of way that you can explain it.
Can you give some examples of projects that have been done here in New Zealand?
The Ornithological Society of New Zealand, Birds NZ, have been doing a form of citizen science for a really, really long time, probably the longest running citizen science initiatives in the whole country. And what they have been doing is logging observations of birds around New Zealand in specific places, like migrating birds coming to estuaries, for example. They've also been doing studies where people just walk along beaches and record what they see washed up, because sometimes we get some quite interesting findings there. So that's one form of citizen science that's been going on for a really long time in New Zealand. You might call that crowdsourced citizen science, where you're getting information from people who are really, really widely distributed around the country, or in some cases around the world. And this is work that can really only be done by volunteers, because the logistics and the costs of getting professionals out there to do that kind of work is really prohibitive. So we're harnessing the power of the crowd by doing that kind of work.
Particularly the projects around local environmental problems or degradation of local environments are quite interesting. Can you talk about some of the ways citizen science is used in those situations?
I think what we have in New Zealand is really, really unique, because we have a really switched on and engaged community of interest out there, often run by volunteers with very strong support from local council, Department of Conservation. So partnerships where community groups have basically evolved to address an environmental issue in their particular area. So it might be like a really degraded bush reserve, it might be whole swathes of different ecosystems across private land and public land together, it might be, say, a really degraded stream quality. And so what these groups have been doing, for some of them, you know, for many, many years, have been working with restoring those ecosystems. And a part of what some of those groups have also been doing is measuring the change that they have been making. So they do all of this work, and the big question is, how do we know we're making a difference? And that's where the science comes in. And so more and more groups now are putting a science component into their restoration projects to better understand what they have actually achieved through their restoration interventions.
Have you noticed an increase in interest and participation, perhaps in response to people realizing the problems and impact that we're having on our environment?
In terms of how we as a country are evolving, it's been so fascinating to see what changes have happened, even within a really short space of time. So now we have this predator-free New Zealand focus, and this has really captured the imagination of people who probably wouldn't ever see themselves as conservationists as such, but they're quite happy to put a trap in their backyard and contribute to a bigger picture for a pest-free New Zealand or predator-free New Zealand. And it's been fascinating to see how social media and basically web-based platforms have completely changed the picture as well, because that's enabled people to communicate with each other in quite different ways and a whole new type of project to spring up. I mean, think about things like, you know, the Kereru count that happens every year. That's beautiful graphics, a beautiful way of engaging people just to observe presence and absence of kereru at a certain time in a certain point of the year, and similarly the backyard bird count as well. So that's an activity that happens only once a year for a short period of time. I think it's about 10 days off the top of my head, but there's a Facebook page that goes with that, and people really engage all year round through the Facebook page. And they might post things like, oh, look what I saw when I was eating breakfast this morning, a couple of kaka out there, isn't that great? Or people might also post things like, oh, look, I saw these white blackbirds. Is this some kind of virus? Do they have some sort of a disease? Should we be concerned? Has anybody else seen something like that? So you're getting people actually sharing information and building these incredible virtual communities through shared interests. And that's one of the cool things about citizen science as well. I mean, that's the citizen component, and that's, I think, what really distinguishes it from normal science, is the way that people involve, the way that people get involved, get engaged in it, and the way that community develops around it.
It seems like people have this idea that you have to be an academic, go to years of school to be a scientist, but I think people are realizing that all you have to do is look around and start paying attention and start being curious about the world around you, and you can develop your own knowledge about your environment.
Sure. I think there's the best citizen science projects are the ones where you've got strong science input from specialists, people who help crunch the data, people who help build questions as well, and then also people with social expertise, like people who work in, say, for example, the area of community engagement. And so you bring those two together, the social side and the science side, and you can develop some really amazing projects that do good science, but also have good public engagement and social outcomes as well.
There were some instances where people have, is this right, discovered species as a result of this? Can you talk about some of those?
One of the kind of science events, science public engagement events that has really gained a lot of popularity over the last 20 or so years is a BioBlitz. And this is where you get a bunch of scientists together with their equipment and with some resource material as well. You set up a base camp and then you run a public science event for a limited period of time. It might be over the course of a weekend, so days and nights, or it might be just during the daytime. It depends on really how you want to shape that event. But really what it is to do a comprehensive inventory of the biodiversity, like all of the flora, fauna and fungi that you'll find in a particular area over a limited period of time. And when you really start combing through a small piece of landscape or a catchment, however big your project is, your BioBlitz is going to be, then you really can find some cool stuff. And it's about taking the time to find out what's really there. And in the course of doing that, yeah, we have had some new discoveries, which has been really neat.
How can people get involved?
At this stage, I would just do a general web search for Citizen Science New Zealand, and you can find out through that way. I am developing I run a think tank in Wellington for citizen science, and we are just in the process of building up a website. So there will be something which is more targeted specifically for New Zealand coming up soon-ish.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihe Modi Ora.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.